Montana Olive Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, det här är Hickson Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rock Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am super excited. We've got one of my favorite bands on again tonight, returning for an update show. And really, we got the whole band here this time, so it's amazing. And I met these folks through the fine folks over at Curtain Call Records. My buddy Brian over there sent over their press thing. They got a whole little thing that they send, and he's checked these guys out, and I did. And first off, I was blown away. I was super impressed. And Joanne, Joanne's the lead vocals. Everybody will be labeled and whatnot when this is on. I gotta say, Joanne, you got a set of pipes on you, girl. Wow.
Thank you.
I was super impressed. The name of the band is Changing Times, and it's a rock band, so they spell it weird, Led Zeppelin or something. Because they're cool, baby, because they're cool, you know? But it's very cool. And you guys, it's interesting, as I understand it, maybe things have changed, but it's very cool that you guys aren't all in the same town. I know Tony's up the Philly area. Joanne, you're in West Virginia area.
Yeah.
I don't know where everybody else is at, but you're spread out. And I think that's interesting because it's the times we live in. This is possible. People can send tracks, vocal, this and that, and put it all together. We can even rehearse like we're doing this show or whatnot, I would imagine, and then you come together and play, you know what I mean? It's pretty cool. It's pretty
absolutely
cool.
Yeah
I'm in southeastern Ohio.
Okay.
And I'm in central Ohio in Columbus.
Columbus. Columbus, the artsy town in Ohio, for those who don't know. That's for all the cool artsy. You can find fancy cappuccinos and stuff. You're going to find that in maybe one or two places in Cincinnati, but Columbus is where all the cool cats hang out. At least the last time I was there. Fun town.
Getting bigger and bigger.
Oh, aren't they all? Aren't they all? RJ, where the hell are you? Or Robert, where are you at?
I'm in the Pittsburgh area. I'm not too far away from Tony.
Awesome. Very cool. I love Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one of those towns where I grew up in Detroit back in the 80s, a long time ago, when they were closing all the factories and whatnot. And about 15 years ago was the last time I was in Pittsburgh. But the interesting thing is I went around the town checking things out, is you would see these remnants. It's almost like ancient Greek ruins of some big press break or something, and they've set it up so it's done with respect. It's not just rotting in a field like in Detroit or something. It's part of the landscape, and I thought that was pretty cool.
A few years ago, I was a member of a gym that was based in like Dutch.
I'm telling you. When I was a kid, we used to go to this nightclub in Pontiac, Michigan, called a terrible name today. But it was named after an Egyptian goddess that begins with an I. And I don't want to say the name because the video will get flagged. It's also the name of a terrorist group in the Middle East.
That could be the way it is.
Yeah. Sometimes. The guy who owned the club had a vision. You know how some of these venues will have a vision. And there was this giant industrial hydraulic press, like killed the Terminator, like that type of machine. And about every, because it took it about 45 seconds to cycle up. Those just don't open and close like on Star Wars or something.
Right.
And when it would come down, it would shake the whole, everybody would have to hold their drinks every 45 seconds because they would spill out. It was a terrible idea. I didn't know
now
how they got it in.
That's called press coverage.
Yeah, literally. Well, anyway, enough of these crazy stories about Pontiac, Michigan. Pontiac's probably nice today. I don't know. I haven't been there in 25 years. But such a cool band. Now, you guys are a hard rock. I don't know if I would classify it as just straight metal. Don't get me wrong. There's some riffs that will melt your face off that I really dig. And Joanne doesn't come out with the Cookie Monster of rage. Maybe
that's
she can.
Right.
She's got a set of pipes
got
on
some
her.
Style.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, Jamie, you don't see when she gets mad in the studio. That's when that kind of stuff comes up. No, I'm just kidding.
Plug in the drums.
That's why Brian puts
do
me
it
in
now.
The closet.
Do it again.
We wouldn't pick on you if we didn't love you, Joanne.
Music's, I just haven't had that talent. I'm a painter. I paint pictures of people for a living. Been doing that forever. That's all I know how to do.
Awesome.
But I grew up hanging out with musicians. Musicians, and no offense, Joanne, always, as I knew growing up, always knew lots of girls, had the best parties. So that's the primary reason I was hanging out with them. And there was always a drum kit to paint. Everybody wanted their band logo on their drum, and usually on denim and leather jackets. I'm telling you, this was the 80s. I painted so many VHs, for Van Halen.
I can imagine.
Or the Fallen Angel, you know. I painted so many of those, I could do it in my sleep probably to this day. But hanging out with these bands, I picked up a few things. I learned a few things. Usually, bands, when they come together, are all people from other bands that they've seen out in the scene. They're like, that guy plays a mean bass, so we need to get him. And we need this guitar player. Yes, this drummer is in 87 other bands right now, but why not make it 88 and get him in our band too? We're always short on drummers. That was the thing. And that's how it usually happened where I grew up in the Midwest there. You guys are all spread out. How did it happen? Did it happen over social media? How did you guys coalesce into the unit that you are?
That's a funny story. I knew I was a gourmet cook. And knew that Brian liked to eat, so that's how it can. I am a gourmet cook, but I'm trying to be funny, man. I'm a drummer. We do these sort of things.
You are the James Bond of drummers. Not only, folks, is he a gourmet cook. I learned last time he was on. He's also a martial artist. Does quantum physics on the side for fun. Just all kinds of stuff.
Except computers.
Yeah. Before we went on mic, as they say in the biz, I guess that's an antiquated term now. It's on video. So before we went on camera, when we were off camera, he saved some money. His computer monitor bit the dust. We've all been there. And he had an old TV and he said, let me Doc Brown this shit and hook it up here. But the camera's over here on the computer and the monitor's over there. So he's watching us all.
Yeah, I'm watching you guys. If I want to look into the camera, I can't see you guys. Then.
That was some good advice there, Tony, from, I believe it was Brian.
Yeah, it was Brian's idea.
I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Actually, when mine have gone out, I usually hit the Goodwill, the local Goodwill. There's always a whole bunch of monitors in there for $1.98. The problem is, it's a gamble. It's a 50-50 because you get it home, you hook everything up, and you're like, I know why it was at the Goodwill now. It's everything. I had one that was all blue. Not the blue screen of death, just lines, just a grid of like a night. If it was green, I'm like, oh, this is from the 70s or something. But no, it was blue. And that was, everybody's like, why are your paintings blue now? I'm like, because the image that I'm working from, that's what I'm looking at. You know, what can you do? Computers are.
But anyway,
mine are keyboards. My keyboard, I don't know if you can see it. There's paint all over it. You shake it, it sounds like there's brake nuts in it. It's just, it's terrible.
Mine,
I go through one of those about once a month.
Wireless one.
I had a wireless one. I actually spent some money. Yeah, see, I had a fancy. I wanted one of those cool steampunk ones. I'm like, yeah, so everybody can see how cool I am. And then I realized it's only me and the dog in here. The wife occasionally, but and the keyboard ain't going to convince her that I'm cool. I didn't get it. I spent the money on something else. But when you own a house, for those who don't know, maybe thinking of getting a house or whatnot, it never ends. It's a trap. And there's always something to fix. And there's always, we just got a new roof. Oh my gosh, that was a lot. That was a lot of paintings.
Yeah.
Saying.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, rookie year.
So you guys met? No, seriously, how did you come together? Was it through like different social media, or how did it happen? Because you guys are all really cool individuals. I get like attracts like, but something had. Did somebody have an ad out? And
I'll try to make it as short a story as I can, then everybody else can elaborate on it. But I guess when Timmy and I had met, I had. I had my thing. I got to play with some really cool folks and some people on some upper things. And I was like, yeah, that's good. You know, I mean, my brother had passed and I was just ready to wrap it up. And my wife said, no, you got to build a website. You got to put yourself out there. You got too many connections. You've been playing your whole life. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't hardly own a computer. I just got a smartphone like for Christmas for the first time and just I'm happy. I'm figuring out how to do things that are just like really impressive to me anyways. But so she set this website up for me. I met Timmy, who was looking for a drummer, and he sent me some stuff and we connected. That project didn't work, but we thought, hey, let's do something because we're both drivers and our styles meshed or whatever. We pursued something, found our first singer. In the meantime, then met Brian right away. And then we looked for a second guitarist forever and a day. Went through several. Robert found us, fortunately, or we'd probably still be looking. And then Brian and Joanne, oddly enough, had worked in a cover band, I'm not sure how many years, doing anything from Iron Maiden to Taylor Swift.
Wow. No Taylor Swift.
I was
going to
tell you that.
To Tay-Tay.
That's like one of Joanne's favorite people. That's why I had to say that.
Yeah, you should have kept some water with you.
See, it's a good thing. It's a good thing I can defend myself because she's going to come after me one of these days. But anyways, but those two knew each other from a cover band, and so when we were having trouble finding a singer, thus to let Joanne try it, and we're like, "What other guy singers were we trying out?" So she just and has been a real blessing to work with, and her melody lines are phenomenal. So we're real excited about. We just got a couple new melody lines, so we're all like on high gear right now.
Yeah, essentially everybody here just knocked it out of the park as far as when we all came together.
Oh, yeah. All the way through. Joanne, I had a friend of mine, dude, we're still friends, that he was in a band from the 80s, and life had changed. Life had moved on. Musical taste moved on. And he still was trying to do, like, some industrial stuff, but it wasn't playing out. And I think he's still doing that stuff. That's really good. But his day job, and I don't want to say it is because I don't want to, people bugging him, but his day job, he had to take a day job. He got bills to pay, and he was doing covers as a piano player at a very high-end department store out on the West Coast. And so we were drinking, hanging out, BSing one night. He told me, he said, the thing that nobody ever says about cover when you're doing covers is everybody knows them real well. So it's got to be right. If you mess it up, they're gonna notice. If it's your original, they're like, oh yeah, I meant to do that. I'm an artiste. That's why we planned that. Did you find that to be the case? Was that difficult in covering back in the day? Wow. Okay. Oh yeah. Nice. Oh yeah. People love to hear it. There you go. There you go. It's interesting because I know venues love them. Because the crowd likes them and it's something easy to sell drinks to because everybody has a memory. Oh, I remember when I first heard every rose has its thorn. Let me get another tequila here or whatever. That's one of the great things about music that I am so jealous of all of you guys as musicians. Everybody remembers, and kids, this is very true. If there's any young people watching this, understand the first time you French kiss somebody, whatever music's playing in the background, that's your music for life. You will always come. Yes, you can like other stuff, but that is burned. That is branded into your brain. That song or that band or whatever, that happens. Nobody goes to an art gallery and goes, oh yeah. Nobody's French kissing in the art galleries. And nobody's going, oh, that Matisse was hanging on the wall, and every time I see the Matisse now, I'm taken away. Doesn't happen. And if it does, don't hang out with those people because they're probably killers or something. But music and musicians, you guys have that ability. That could very easily, that is not beyond the realm of possibility. Somebody could hear a shark attack, and I remember what, and we'll talk a little more about that here in a little bit, but I know the background of that song. It's not romance and holding hands and playing footsie. But I'm telling you, there's some high school party or something where somebody's getting a kiss for the first time, and that may be on. And they're going to be Changing Times fans for the next 60 years. It's amazing to me. I'm very jealous of that. I got to be honest with you. It's cool. Now, you guys were all musicians from the start. You all knew that this was what you needed to be doing when you were younger?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I started out as a lead singer and actually just got pissed off at our bass player. So I decided to rent a bass and an amp and taught myself how to play bass guitar. From then on, it was, okay, I'm a bass player now.
That's amazing. So, I remember being 15 years old, and man, there was this gal at my school that I just thought was dynamite on a Saturday night. And she was really into the band Duran. She wanted to, they were coming in concert. So I got some money together, got some Duran tickets. We went and saw them. At the time, I didn't care about Duran. I cared about Mary's Legs. That was what the whole, that was my whole focus. But we went, it was a good show. And there were 15,000 people there having a good time. But I remember the bass player. I didn't know this guy's name at the time. But he came to the end of the stage. He was pumping the crowd up, and he put his hand. I can't hear you. One of those deals by his ear. So everybody went. I saw 15,000 girls freak, and me in the middle of them. They all freaked out, and it was a revelation to me. I'm like, I got to get into music. I got to get a bass guitar. This is obvious. What the secret is here, man? Again, 15-year-old brain working. So it was great and everything. Came home. My father was still up. He's sitting at the kitchen table. I'll never forget it. And I said to him, well, how was the show? And I said, Dad, I got to get a bass guitar. I don't care what it costs. I got to get some lessons or something maybe, or figure it out. But I need, and he just sighed and he looked down and he goes, son, he said, we have a grand piano in the living room there. Costs a lot of money. I've never even seen you sit at that piano. You've never shown any interest in or musical ability in your entire life. He goes, all I'm saying, no, I'm not discouraging you. If you want to bait, we'll make it happen. But you're really good at drawing. Why don't you focus on that? Because you can impress any gal or the right gals with whatever you're good at. And you need to get as good as you can at it. And so that was the end of my music career. But fast forward a couple years, I'm in college, I'm going to art school, and I'm at a bar hanging out with my friends, and there was some cute girls at that bar, and I picked up a cocktail napkin and I started sketching on the cocktail just for fun, just flexing a little bit, and all of a sudden those cute girls were over checking out what I was doing, and numbers were being exchanged. Back then you had to write your number down, you couldn't just do it on a phone. And I remembered my dad's advice. And I'm like, the old man knew what he was talking about. He was right. He was right. And my fingernails have never bled. It's amazing, like everybody's had, that I knew that played bass. Anyway, the guy from Duran, I'm sure the reason the girls went crazy is he looked like a model. And
that was John Taylor.
Yeah, had millions of dollars or something. And an infinity pool, I'm sure. Probably had a house like Tony Stark somewhere. Sure, that had nothing to do with any of it. But yeah, bass players, they liked them. Now, Joanne, you're the lead vocals in a band of these crazy guys here. How is that? Do you ever have to mother hen these guys a little bit, keep them on track, or are they all pretty good at that? Ah, I gotcha. Nice. Where's Tony at? Oh, he's getting another Philly cheesesteak. He was missing home. He was homesick. And he's complaining about how it's made. Big surprise. I'm kidding. I'm giving Tony a hard time. They do make them big, though, in Philadelphia.
Yeah, they do.
Now, you Ohioans, I'll tell you something I introduced my wife to a couple months ago. she's never been to Ohio, so you got to forgive her for this. But she absolutely, anytime she eats chili now, it has to be over spaghetti noodles. That's her big thing. I'm not a fan of that, but
yeah, that's a Cincinnati thing.
Oh, man.
But I still love Skyline.
Yeah, I'm telling you. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they eat it. But
oh, it's good. It's that mound of cheese that goes on top of it. But
yeah, I'm moved.
Tony's like, it's not here. Scrapple, but no,
I don't think I'd want that.
Yeah. But it's cool that you guys are such a tight, because you guys' music is really tight, but it's really, it amazes. The reason I'm so focused on the distance and the layout of the band is, it sounds like you guys are like rehearsing every other day in the same room, but it's very tight.
Thanks for the kind words.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah. Maybe it's just because you all are professionals. Oh, no. 18-year-olds probably just don't have the experience to. Why does the drummer and bass player keep looking at each other? Because that's their whole part of the band, that rhythm. Come on, man. Actually, the guitar player so often that steps in.
That's just it. It's the guitar player that steps in. He started imposing fines if we get off beat or hit on a wrong note or something. So that's how we ended up getting so tight.
That's funny.
Yeah,
that's
me
funny.
And Robert direct him on that. He gets the right, I get the left.
They're on you. They're on you, baby. They're on you. So, Tony, you had mentioned you guys, the last time we had you guys on, we played the single Shark Attack. It's one of my favorites. One of my favorites that I've ever heard. And you told us the background of that, which was a very moving background. It was, we weren't joking around about that. It wasn't joking around material. And folks, there's a link to the last episode in the description below. But I got to tell you, Tony, we do these because we're so fancy and cool on YouTube now. We do these YouTube shorts. And don't ever call them a short form video or my wife will come yell at you. I made that mistake. They're just a short. And one of the shorts was you, this story behind that song. And it blew the roof off on views and stuff and engagement. That was the highest viewed short since we've been making shorts August or whatever last year. So yeah, a lot of people could relate to the algorithm. I don't know what happened, but there you go. The word got out, and still getting out, I'm sure. Amazing.
That's what we're looking for.
Now, the latest, and why I wanted to do an update show, too, is to get the full band on. But I was going through, I don't know, Instagram or Facebook or something, and I saw the latest lyric video, which is titled The Fear Is Gone. And great song. Great track. It's got cool visuals in it. That's the carrot on the string, if you will. See, Jillian? See what I did?
You have one.
Yeah. No, it's a great video. We're going to play it here in a second. A different direction than Shark Attack, though. I don't know if this has a fuller sound or what it is exactly, but it's different. They're both really good. I guess you guys just wake up in the morning and write a hit song. That's a Tuesday or something. That's how that goes. But it's working, whatever you're doing. Is this indicative of the new album that you guys are working on, do you think? This kind of sound? Or is it all going to be different?
I think everything
be a little bit louder.
Is going to be a step above that. There's a little more meat to the songs. I think there's... We went both ways. We got some songs like Come Back to Me is, I feel, very commercial. And then we got one song, Don't Let the Title Fool You, it's called Blue Flowers. You ain't never going to hear nothing like that. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Oh, jeez.
It's intense.
Robert and Brian are, it's crazy. I don't know what I was thinking, but it was something.
Well, you can tell with the Blue Flower. Look what it did for Batman. Remember he had to climb up to that mountain and get that? And then it messed up his whole day.
Maybe I should explain why it's called Blue Flowers. One of the things I also am into is like the beauty in nature and the different colors of flowers. And there's one specific species that has everything from blue, red, white. and blue is my favorite color. So I've been trying for 3 years to get these blue flowers to grow. And this spring is going to be the year that they bloom. In the fall, I had a very serious medical episode that I had to go through. And I didn't know if I was going to make it. I had a 60-40 chance, 60 on the positive side. But I made it through there. But the idea of the song is, if you want to see blue flowers, you got to fight the fight. You got to stay with it. Don't give up, you know, that kind of thing. And it's just, so it became a very heavy, aggressive song because of what it was dealing with. And it was like, to see the blue flowers. And it was just like, how can I describe the feeling of wanting to keep going?
Absolutely. So, couple things. People saw me laugh a little bit when you said, I'm trying to get these flowers to grow. And the reason, for those who don't know, I am too a gardener, and I've only been doing it a few years, 3 or 4 years now. And yes, the struggle is real, and I understand because what happens when you start gardening, folks? You watch YouTube videos, and that's terrible because you see these weirdo plants from, like, this plant only grows on a hillside in Taiwan in this forest. And you're like, yeah, I can do that. I can reproduce that here. And you order it and spend too much money. And of course, it doesn't work. But when something in the garden does work, it's amazing. You're like Tom Hanks in Castaway when he made a fire. Yes, I've done this. But then I got serious because you were telling the story. One time in my life, I had some medical issues as well. I was visiting Pittsburgh. There you go, Robert. And some stuff happened. It's not a big story, folks. I had a hernia I thought would fix itself. It did not. If you ever get a hernia, get it fixed because it can lead to bad things. I was in the hospital for 3 months, but at the beginning of that fun adventure, a surgeon came in and said, we're going to try to fix this, but here's where we're at. If we cannot, we'll make you as comfortable as we can. And when you hear that shit, or you hear 60-40 chant, yeah, it starts. In my case, I was thinking, there's still 10,000 paintings I got to paint yet that I've been putting off. I've been screwing around. I have to get these done. That's what pulled me through. His was blue flowers. So there you go. And of course, he makes a hard rock song out of it. That's Tony. That's amazing. Do you guys ever, when you hear these things, and he said, no, I imagine he said, how does that work? Did he send the drum beats first over to everybody? And everybody said, yep. Timmy was like, yeah, let me throw some guitar on. Then Robert and everybody, I mean, how does it work?
I had the drums. I had actually gotten some ideas from the other guitar players we were trying to work with. He was trying to put together some things, and I'd written some drum beats, so I arranged them. And then when I was in the hospital, I put the words over top of the drum beats, and I told Timmy about it and said, this is what I need. And that was, I gave you that stuff pretty much out of the hospital, huh? Which would have been like, I got out like early November, and it probably took him about 2.5 months to put something to it. So I'll let you explain that, Timmy.
Sometimes it takes a while to get right. That's, I know with painting.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to go over the drums quite a bit and make sure everything was going to hit and fit where it needed to. And the arrangement on it is far from commercial. Not that it being non-commercial or complex or whatnot, but the structuring of it was complex. And to hear the drums by themselves on that one, somebody that's not a musician or not writing or anything would think that it was a cacophony. But it really wasn't. It was strategically structured the way he did that, and I already had a beat on what was going on prior, but it didn't really help because the drums were arranged a different way, so I had to go through each section of the drums and come up with a riff that fit in each section. And then, much like editing a video, then I just came up with riffings to crossfade them, essentially. So,
yeah, it's pretty,
after that part, who does it go to next? Does it go to Robert? Okay.
Not Robert.
Yeah, so after Tony and Timmy did their parts, then it was up to me to add my guitar parts on. And I have to say, the word complex, that's a good description. I was a little bit intimidated at first, but this is a very impressive composition. But then the more I worked with it, the more I said, I really like this because it's a challenge. I think it's as we've already said, it's a very heavy song, but it's also, if you're into progressive rock, if you're into things that have a lot of changes, a lot of different intricate parts, then this will also to those people. It was fun to work with, and it's very satisfied with the product that we're coming up with. We're molding it step by step.
That's awesome. And then Brian, it hits you. It hits your studio with
well,
his
awesome
microphone there.
So far, we've got the drums are recorded, and everybody's got their ideas to it, except me. I'm still working on it. It's one of those going, oh, holy crap, what do I do with this?
So, my mind was exactly when I started.
I told him, I said, I won't write nothing like that anymore.
But it'll come out.
That's cool. And then, Joanne, they bring it to you, and you're like, this is great, Beethoven. How do I write lyrics on top of this ninth here? What's going on? Was that...
Here's the magic.
Nice. Nice. My dog, Mei Ling, just perked her head up. She's finally a guest for me. Somebody that I can understand. I don't know whose dog it is, but I'm with you. I've got one, too. They just want to be on the show. They just want.
Yep, that's my dog barking in the background.
Nice, nice. No, it's all good. It's all good. We are very dog friendly here at the Genie Rock Studios. It sounds like an involved process. That the thing is, no, I have not heard this track, folks, and we're not going to play because we don't have it. But it will be available on the new album. Let me put you guys on the spot. Let me just ask on because I'm selfish. I have heard what I've heard from you guys and gal. I want to hear more. When is that new album going to be dropping, do you think? Ballpark.
The idea is to have it done around April 1st. So
nice.
It's going to come down to me eventually, but getting everything mixed. But
it's not going to be like the Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy album that takes 22 years.
No.
Okay, good.
No, we should have it done by April 1st, right around there.
Nice.
In that time frame.
Nice. Yeah, that's not that far off. That's not that far off. It's like a month or two away. A month away. That means we'll have you guys back on the show, of course. Because I'll be bugging Brian.
Remember the name of that song, Blue Flowers.
Very cool. Is that about standard, that time frame for a song? Like the song we're going to be playing tonight, The Fear Is Gone, is that about, on average, would you say, from conception to video on YouTube?
I don't know. I guess some songs get put together a little quicker than other ones. I guess it's who gets it all done first. Everybody could be working on different songs, and eventually everybody got one song done. So
that's cool.
Yeah. You know,
That's great.
I'm not sure if I'm answering the question correctly, but...
No, it is, because I get it. Man, they all sound so great. With in my world, with paintings, people see the end result. They see the end result. They see the finished product, and they're like, yeah, he just rolled out of bed this morning. He had nothing going on, and just knocked that out. What they don't see, and sometimes that happens, and I celebrate it, and I think it's the best thing ever, because it's rare. What no one ever sees is when I'm screaming at the thing and jumping up and down, pulling at my hair and wanting to throw it in the street. I haven't done that yet, folks, but I've come close. I do get it done. But the thing is sometimes they fight you a little bit, and the public never has any idea. They just think you just knocked it out. I imagine with music, it's got to be similar. There's got to be ones that come a little easier, a little harder, and nobody ever knows. They don't know the struggle. You know what I mean? They're like, yeah, changing times. They just wake up and there it is. They wrote it down in their sleep. They got notation pads of paper on their nightstand. Joanne's singing into her phone while she's sleeping, her lyrics or whatever, melodies. Jesus. That's what they don't know.
I could use
That's cool.
We put the Changing Times hard rock twist on it, though.
Yeah.
I gotcha. I am that way. I'm one of those people. My wife is not. My wife, if she wakes up, you have to give her a half an hour before you even talk to her. You know what I mean? It's a process of her coming to life. No, Robert will tell you, my brain's more like a computer. I get up, and I know Tony and Robert know this for a fact because they see me start posting at about 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm an old man. I get up super early because my brain's working real well. The computer has defragged. I'm clear. The phone isn't ringing, and I just function better. But come 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, there was a time, the majority of my life, that's when I used to go out and stuff and come to life. Now that I'm old, 10 o'clock, I am ready to go to sleep. The files are corrupted at 10 o'clock. I need to go to bed. You know, my advice to anybody, no matter what you're doing, I don't care if you're in a band, find what works for you. I know some people work all through the night and do that. Whatever, find your groove, find your zone, and play to win is what I'm saying. You know, whatever works for you, do that.
Absolutely. Yeah, you have to take advantage of it when things come to you. You just never know. People, guys and girl talking about Blue Flowers here and being like a highly challenging song. I think internally that just happened for me because I did go through that really rough situation there. And
scary situation.
Yeah, very scary. I woke up in the middle of the night and basically my insides were mixing up.
Not good.
Yeah, it wasn't good. And laying in the hospital is when I wrote the words. And I even think that's when I arranged Blue Flower, Timmy.
Yeah.
Because it was right, I got right out of there, and then I told you this is what we're doing, and this is how it's going to be, and I got the words, and I know how it's going to fit on the drum line, and the guitar's got to work with it. That's all I told him, and wait till you hear what he come up with, and then what Robert put over top of it. And then it's funny, because these poor people got to listen to me trying to sing what I write. Now, if you could picture a frog with maybe firecrackers up his rear end, and that's what's blowing out his mouth.
That's what it sounds like. Yeah, it's not,
yeah, that would give you some idea. So poor Joanne's got to take that and try to make it sound good, and she's probably what in the world. But I don't know. But that's so you just got to, whatever that happens for me, I was in the hospital, and I was like, I want to write a song about this experience, and that's what happened.
That's amazing.
Well, me, if you take In the Darkness, for instance, I actually wrote that riff. It took me about 20 minutes. And it was ironic because I wrote that a night there was a pretty big storm that night and the electric got knocked out. And
you write with acoustic?
I couldn't play my electric at that point in time. And I just stood around a minute and I picked up the acoustic and it took me about 20, 30 minutes to write the riff.
Wow. That's amazing. That's amazing. I read somewhere with Paint It Black, I think, by the Rolling Stones. I was reading somewhere that Keith Richards was drunk in a hotel room, I think in Miami or someplace.
That's hard crazy. To believe.
What was it?
That's hard to believe.
Yeah. But he came up with it, but it took him, he said, 3 hours to remember exactly how it went when he sobered up the next day. It's like the angels were singing to me that night, and I'm like, oh yeah, Keith, we've all had Jägermeister. We get it. It is. I have an ex-wife because of that. Not because of the constant drinking. That's how I met her, everybody. And yeah, that was 3 weeks in Las Vegas. I'll never get back. But I learned a valuable lesson. Anyhow. Well, it's amazing. It's so cool because talking to artists like yourselves, but see, I love... Remember that show they used to have on VH1? It was like Behind the Music. I was a junkie for that show. I would watch that show like a transvestite. It was my thing. It was what I was into. And maybe that's why I do the podcast now, because I love talking to people like you guys and getting this, your process, the behind the scenes, all and it's just cool. I get to hang out with cool people. I like that. And it sure, and I hear you, Tony.
Yeah, we like hanging out with cool people.
I love, and Robert, I love Pittsburgh, but I didn't want to go out inside a shady side. You know what I mean? I they were great, saved my life, but yeah, that was enough of that. Very glad to have them.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling you, that experience, I don't know if this happened to you, Tony. I had to have a surgery, and I woke up. The surgery was, stuff happened during it. Woke up in the ICU, and I had that thing. You remember in the Matrix movie when Neo comes to life and he's got that thing down his throat that he pulls out, and we all wanted to throw up during that scene? I had one of those in my throat, and I'm in the ICU, and I'm trying to get it out, and they put these mitts on my hands so I couldn't move my hands. And finally, they let me out of the mitts, and I gestured for a pad of paper and pencil. I've never been a religious person my whole life. Just not, and I'm not bagging on anybody who is. Hey, whatever gets you through the night. It's never been my jam. But at that moment, I thought I had been wrong. I'm like, and that's what I wrote on the pad. I'm like, was I wrong? Is this hell? And how do I get out of it? And they're like, no, you're alive. Settle down there. Dante, you're fine. Everything went well. But yeah. Ooh, those.
Thank goodness.
Oh, I'm telling you. But I hear where you're coming from, Tony. I mean, I've been there, man. Not in your specific situation, of course. But man, it's a scary feeling, folks. It's a scary feeling. Then you start throwing that 60%, 40%. You're like, well, which side is which? Did they tell you that at least? Come on, man. Jesus.
I don't know if they did or not. They're alone. You have to know. They're like, this is a risky thing going on here. We got to. They had to cut me open like a fillet of fish and all kind of internal stuff. And when my outside was held together with 34 staples.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, yeah, man. So it was a good one. But I had a peace about it, oddly enough. Going through it, I knew I was going to be okay. And I feel like I do have a higher purpose with my music. And I feel like my father had given me the gift of music. And I've always felt like a gift isn't really a gift unless you give it away. So the only way to give it away is to keep going. And it's just like right in the like climax of when we just found Robert, and it's like the band's being complete, and this happens.
It's a good band. You guys,
yeah, great. It is. And so Blue Flowers, getting back to this whole story, the reason why it was such a complex and just for me, it's even pushed my levels like beyond. I still can't groove to it. I need the click track. That's how complex it is. And it's just, but I wanted to have a monumental song to be like, this is like a marker for me. Like I overcame and actually moved up and got better from it.
It sounds like Tony has moved into that. Every young drummer is going to listen to this song, Blue Flowers, and have their Neil Peart moment and think that they can do that real easy. It's going to take a lot of work. You can. Oh, yeah. I don't want to discourage anybody from any type of artistic pursuit. But the secret is, you got to understand, Tony had this drive behind him, and everybody had this drive, really. And they've been doing this a while. The more you do something, the more you practice. I know it's a drag. As much as you know, you're not meeting any girls in the studio or in your bedroom or practicing. But you gotta practice to get good at what you're doing, man. Kids all the time ask me, I wanna get where you're at. I'm like, I've been doing this 25 years. I suggest you draw 2 or 3 hours a day for 25 years and maybe you'll get better at it. They all become graphic. Yeah. To drink paint water by mistake. They're not paying attention. Have their fingernails bleed. That doesn't happen to me, folks. That happens to bass players. Or guitar players also, I've heard. Crazy.
I certainly had to be able to play the guitar parts on Blue Flowers, too. It was definitely setting a high bar, too, for us to aspire to, for me anyway, as a guitarist. But it was a good challenge. That's how you grow. That's how you get better.
When you guys are moving into, like you had mentioned, aggressive thing. Again, I haven't heard the track. I'm really jonesing to. But I listen to progressive music sometimes. You know what I mean? I'm a big Rush fan, of course. And you listen to some progressive tracks and you're like, holy shit, this is almost. I mean, it's not as operatic as, say, some Queen tracks or whatnot, but it's still cool. And I can listen to Queen doing the Flash Gordon soundtracks and denote little flourishes here and there, and I'm like, somebody's flexing on a soundtrack album. But they didn't have to do that. The studio paid them for the name. That's what went to the main track. They didn't have to do all this other stuff. But it's amazing. I love seeing artists and musicians doing what they do and enjoying what they do, even if they hate it. You know what I mean? They're still doing what they are supposed to be doing. It's magical. It's magical. Let's play the track, hanging out with you guys, because the time just gets away from me. But I want to get it in. Folks, this is new. This was dropped, I don't know, 5 days ago, something like that, 6 days ago, something. It's brand new. It's available, right? People can buy this and whatnot.
Absolutely.
It's out there. Nice.
Well, the song.
Nice. Yeah, the song. Yeah. Very, very cool. Here it is, everybody. We're going to play it, then we'll talk about it. And enjoy. This is, because it's Changing Times. It's called The Fear Is Gone. I wanted to make sure I got that "the" in the beginning. Otherwise, I've added in later. So it's The Fear Is Gone, Changing Times. Enjoy. Here it is.
Find the
And we're back, folks. We're back. That was Changing Times. The Fear Is Gone. It's a fantastic lyric video. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I love lyric videos. I think lyric videos are then putting together a traditional video and whatnot. And now the technology is so good, you can make a really good lyric video. There's some I really think are amazing. And this one included. Do you guys do that yourself? Are you sending it over to Robert? I know he's the computer guy. Or do you send it out to somebody? Is that Tony?
Timmy's the man on this stuff.
Timmy.
Timmy, yep. Yeah, we actually just, Timmy did the first one all on his own. And then we've been talking. And now I am going to search for raw footage that's like you can get licensed for and try to write scripts for more songs and then send them over to Timmy. When he has the footage, he'll be able to work his magic and maybe we'll try to get a few more of these out. But Timmy's a whiz with all this electronic artwork and technology. Thankfully, if it was up to me, we'd be talking on a flip phone right now. So Brian will tell you, he gets a kick out of it. How do you think it's funny?
I am so glad we've met, Timmy, because I know you. I'm pretty much like Tony when it comes to this electronic stuff. I have no idea.
There you go.
The problem with computers, and if there's any computer engineers out there, designers or software, but really I've had this issue with computers in general, is something, there'll be some little box that's hidden behind 37 screens or whatever that you got, that suddenly is clicked and then you have to unclick it and then everything works. But you got to know about that. And you don't.
Yep.
Where the box is and which box to actually click.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why it's great to have a computer genius like Robert in the band here, because they're actually hung up after the whole medical thing. I was ready to do the pre-production drum line, so I went to crank up the computer. This was before the computer went haywire on me, but my software wasn't working. So Robert had to come over and get me all set up. Took a couple hours, but
I can do guitar, tech support, whatever you need.
That's awesome. That is, you guys don't even know. That is fantastic. It's interesting though that, and people are very surprised when they hear me. I don't think AI is necessarily a bad thing. At least the AI I use, and you hear all these young painters and stuff bitching about it, and I'm like, it's a great tool. I think it's a great tool for me. There was a time if I wanted to paint a blonde standing in front of a castle with a dove flying by, I'd have to sketch all that shit out, figure out the math on it from all the light sources and all this and that. My wife, she gave me the website, one of these AIs, and I just put in blonde castle with a dove flying by. It generates it, and I'm like, oh, there's my image right there. I still have to paint it on the canvas, but I can look and see the light source. Saves me a tremendous amount of time and work.
I got a digital drawing pad that I do stuff on in terms of like artwork and stuff like that.
It's like one of the pads with the thing.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm jealous. Yeah. I don't have any of that. I wish I did.
Joanne's our other artist in the band. She's got some good ideas.
Yeah.
But I don't use AI for anything.
I use it on eBay every day when we're posting paintings. It has a little thing. Let AI write the description. I'm like, work the hell out, AI. Knock yourself out. But you were saying, Joanne, I didn't need to talk over you. What were you saying, dear?
Oh, no.
Oh, she froze up for a second. And now she left. Are you still there, Joanne?
She's cutting in and out.
I don't know what happened.
I can hear her, but can't see.
Hey, folks, sorry about the abrupt ending to this episode. Yeah, well, I don't know what happened, but this was the footage that came out of the download. So that's what we have. Fantastic band, though. Changing Times, they're one of my favorites. All the members are just really cool and super nice and just a good hang, a fun hang. Anyway, links in the description below. Be sure to add them to your playlists and whatnot. And your social media contacts and what have you. A very cool band. We'll see you next time. Again, I apologize about the abrupt ending. Couldn't be helped. We'll see you next time, everybody. Have a good one. Remember, the world's still a weird place.
And be kind, be patient. What you put out into the world is usually a pretty good indication of what's going to come back to you. It's like a big boomerang, a karmic boomerang, if you will. Anyhow, we'll see you next time. Have a good one. Thanks for watching. Bye.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.